you'd like, please stand and sing with us and sing your praise.
Across the sky, walking on water.
Jesus' name. And God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Yes, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Welcome to Lenexa UMC and to our worship service. Thank you for coming out today. It is a little bit cool out there, a little bit slippery, but thank you for coming out. Walking at the parking lot behind here, you just have to take it slow. I don't want you to fall down. Amen. So welcome. It is good to see also part of the team who went on Mixnut, Young Adults Mission. Welcome back. We thank God for you. So this morning, what are our celebrations? Is there anybody to share some celebration? Maybe the mixed nuts for 2 seconds if you have. Okay, you are not ready. Huh? Okay. Amen. Welcome back. Yeah, let's give glory to God. Thank you. Yeah, with the weather and the trip. And you are swimming in the ocean too? Okay, good. Please also pray for the Great Plains Clergy Orders and Fellowship. It will be held in Lincoln this coming week. So all the pastors, elders, and deacons, they will be heading to Lincoln, Nebraska. So pray for us this coming week. And also pray for the meetings. You know, we have some business meetings today for planning for worship, and also next week has PRC and council meetings. So pray for those meetings. So I would like to give you a moment of silent prayer to pray for those needs and other unspoken prayer needs you may have. Gracious and loving God, we thank you today for the way you have been so gracious to us. Thank you for watching over each one of us. Thank you for the traveling mercies that you have given to each one of us. Thank you for the healing that you have brought to each one of us who have not been feeling well. Lord, from the moment we awake to face this day, and any day ahead of us, we just want to thank you. Lord, we thank you for the good days that you have given us. Thank you for being with us even during those times, bad times and good times. We thank you because you have been with us. This morning you deserve to be praised because you have been so nice to us. Because of your presence with us, is enough to meet all our needs. We thank you even for the safe trip you came to Mixnut. Thank you for the mission that they have accomplished for your own glory. Thank you for the lives that have been touched through their mission. Lord, we also commit the worship services for today. We pray that you come in thy fullness and be present with us. Anoint this service. Anoint every part of it, for we'll give you glory and honor when we leave this place feeling enthusiastic and happy for what you have provided for us. Lord, we want to pray for guidance, even for the things ahead of us, the meetings which are ahead of us, the goals that we have to accomplish this year. We need your guidance. We cannot do without you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Almighty God, you have promised to guide and protect us, and we will follow your will. But we have thought it was smart to be independent. We have insisted we know what is best and how to use the lead of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our selfish ways, that we may enjoy the freedom you have promised. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's rise to sing again.
No one greater, no one like our God. There is none for us. Our scripture today comes from the books of Nehemiah and Corinthians. From Nehemiah 2, chapters 16 through 20, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest that were to do the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we may no longer suffer disgrace." I told them that the hand of my God had been gracious upon me, and also that the words that the king had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us start building." So they committed themselves to the common good. But then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, and they mocked and ridiculed us, saying, "What is this that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven is the one who will give us success, and we, his servants, are going to start building, but you have no share or claim or historic right in Jerusalem." And then, as soon as I find it, from chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Then the high priest Eliashib sent to work with his fellow priests and rebuilt the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. And the men of Jericho built next to him, and next to them Zachar, son of Imri, built. The sons of Hathanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts, its bars. Next to them, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakos, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshibeth. I knew I was going to mess up one of these. Meshizabel made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, son of Bana, made repairs. And then from chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Now when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani charge over Jerusalem, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a word, a reward. This is good news for God's people. Well, is everyone ready to play some more sponge?
Yes.
Well, last week our brave adventurers found themselves at the bottom of a pit. After trying to find their way out, they turned to God, and their spirituality saved them. As you are traveling along the forest road today, you hear a rustling up ahead.
I stop and listen.
As you stop, out jumps a large goblin who shoots a bow and arrow at you, and you take 5 damage.
I run forward and swing my sword. Ah, I miss.
Yep. What do you do now? Okay. The goblin scratches his claw at Linda here. And, oh, you take 3 damage.
Ah, I swing my sword again.
And
I miss. A little help here. Come on, I need your help. This goblin is going to kill me.
The goblin shoots at player 1 at Linda. Up, you take 6 more damage.
Sorry. I was distracted. I hit the goblin with my axe.
He takes 10 damage. And the goblin, whichever it is, the goblin drops dead.
Finally, I was on my last hit point.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thanks for helping out.
You know, you guys make a good team. You're stronger together, but it takes participation from everyone. That's the P in sponge. Spirituality, participation.
What's the O?
We'll find out next week. See you again, night.
Participation. Thank you, team, and Stephanie and Linda for, you know, doing that play. Yeah, how many of you can see that, especially people from the back there? Can you see the right things up front here on the pink and red piece of paper? Yes. Last Sunday, we talked about spirituality. And today, we are going to talk about participation. And I think for those of you who are not here last Sunday, you might be wondering, what are they talking about? So we are talking about sponge. And in my language, we say sponge. So sponge. And as some of you last Sunday reminded me, you know, to carry my sponge. I saw some of you carrying it to remind yourself about, you know, this sponge thing we are talking about, you know, on the series of our sermons. And I saw something which Lisa Freeman posted on Facebook about the sponge absorbing all the love, all the kindness, and then we share. And I Googled to see how many people use sponge, and nearly everybody uses sponge at home to clean in the kitchen, bathrooms, vehicles. And the reason why people use is because it says it absorbs water and soap and dispenses it evenly. It is not like washcloth or a brush. It does a good job. So I'm not trying to be a salesman, but I'm trying to explain to you, you know, that sponge, the word sponge is fitting. It is fitting to our goals for this year. So let me do a review for those who are not here. So we talked about spirituality. And let me go back to sponge first. What is sponge? For those of you who were here last week, let's say, you know, sponge. That is acronym for spirituality, participation, outreach, numbers, giving, and
enthusiasm.
Yeah, I forgot enthusiasm. And now we got it today. Right. So, spirituality means connecting to God through faith in Jesus Christ and through everything that has been created in the universe, even including those things you make, you know, like necklace, you know, you can use it, you know, to focus in your prayer and on God. And what does God, or rather, who does God use to accomplish His will here on earth? Who does He use to accomplish His will, His mission? Who? There is a simple answer. Yes, us. Everyone. God can use everyone. And you are going to get to know this as we study this scripture today, that God can use everyone to accomplish his purpose here on earth. So since God uses everyone, which include using you and using me, I want to use our time together this morning to talk about being a player in the activities of God here on earth. You might have heard somebody say, everything has a place, and everything should be in its place. Well, the same applies to people. Everyone has a place in this world and in the church, and everyone should be in their place. And when everyone is in their place, when everyone is in their place and they are using their spiritual gifts serving God, then it will be inspiring. It will be enthusiastic. Amen? Amen. It will be enjoyable. It will be motivational. And it will attract others to participate. And when others participate, they feel they belong. They feel they are useful in the community of believers. Now that we have all been refreshed and are on the same page of the book, so to speak, now let's study the scriptures which are found in Nehemiah chapter 2, 3, and 4 and 7, that talks about rebuilding the temple. Why do I bring this message to you today? Because we need to rebuild the next site, UMC, spiritually. It could be literally too. I was doing an inspection of the church last week, looking around. And I saw behind the wall here, I need some repair. And some other places, the kitchen. And I found also beautiful places. And Mary Claude pointed to me, you know, the sidewalk down there where you build it nicely and put your names. And names of your family members who have been here before. So I realized, you people are good builders. So today, I want to invite you to join me in rebuilding Lenexa UMC. I may not be a good builder like you are. I don't have a hard helmet. I don't have an overall. I don't have boots. I don't have gloves. But you are the expert. So I came with the blocks today. We are going to do the building. Just like Jeremiah and the priest started rebuilding the temple for the Israelites. So we laid the foundation of Lenexa UMC. Yeah, we put some reinforcements. Let's see how far it will go. How my rebuilding will go. There should be a door, right? So I've started rebuilding, but I have run out of blocks. I need more blocks. Join me. Bring your blocks. Yes, you are like, you didn't let us know in advance so that we can bring. So what was happening with Nehemiah, the rebuilding was going on. The leaders started, the priests started it. And after they built it, they put their names right there. Just the way you did on the sidewalk, you put your names. And others were coming and joining in. And Nehemiah was taking a record and putting their names on the corners. You know, wherever people put the, bring the materials and build their site. So he was putting their names. So the big deal here is that God can use anybody. People who came, they were anybody. They were not the experts. So here we see Nehemiah giving credit to the workers. When he wrote in chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "So build we the wall, for the people were eager to work." Nehemiah faced a great challenge and opposition. And you heard, you know, from people like Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah. You know, those hard names. So you heard they were opposing the rebuilding of the temple. So even though Nehemiah faced opposition from other people, he went ahead by faith. And he accomplished what God had called him or revealed him to do. So look at the scripture in chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. Let's look. Should be in the next slide. So we see in verse 8 it says, I can't pronounce that name. Son of Ahiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, and one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. So you see, God was using anybody. They were using perfumers. They were using merchants. Even politicians were walking on the wall. God had people that you wouldn't expect to be completing this type of work. Can you imagine if we were rebuilding this church and politicians, the governors, the senators, the mayors of the town coming and help? You know, people, you know, working at the restaurants. So God, it is showing us here, God can use anybody. So the following are questions to guide our understanding. What can we learn and take away from this portion of God's word today? First, we should know that there is a place for everyone and everybody, and everyone should be in his or her place on the wall. On the wall, you know, here in front or in this church. Yes, first, you know, by looking at this scripture, it is called Nehemiah. You know, it should have been called the workers' book. You know, we should be saying, let's go to the workers' book, chapter 2. But, yeah, Nehemiah's name is there, but he gave credit to everyone who wrote his, who participated in this work. He said, the workers, he gave credit to the workers, and we have seen in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. So, this is proven in our scripture for today that Nehemiah found himself completing God's plan with people he did not know. And people, and doing so with skills he was not expecting. Like for me, if I was to start building, I would look for people who are trained, you know. Like, you know, right now we are trying to work on our kitchen. We are looking for constructors, right? Engineers, people who know what they are doing. That is what I would do. I would look for people who know what they are doing. People with the right gear, hard helmet, people who are strong, people who have short sleeves, shirts, and probably having some tattoos. You know, people with kind of belly, you know, strong people. And probably they need to pull up their pants a little bit, right? People with boots. Those are the kind of people I would look for to build my church or my house. But Nehemiah did not do that. He brought everyone from the street. Actually, they were coming by themselves. They were motivated to join in because they saw excitement. They were enthusiastic. So, church, God can use anybody when we, the leaders, would, you know, those who are here can lead the way and get excited and do it. Yay, let's get into it. You know, people will join in. So what type of people did God use in rebuilding the temple? We have seen. And that is the next slide. Simply, he used absolutely everyone. God can use anyone who is willing. God can use anyone who is willing here in the church to serve God. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuild the sheep gate. The priest led the way. It says they dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hanel. So in short, the high priest were listed first. They started first. It must have been interesting to see the priests, maybe with the robes, you know, picking the bricks and building, mixing the concrete. Must have been interesting to see them doing that and rebuilding the wall. So those who are leaders, including myself, followers will only do what they see the leaders doing. They ought to set a good example by leading the way, and then the followers will come. Even if you are not seeing followers behind, just do it. They'll show up from somewhere. Amen? Amen. It happened for Nehemiah. And this leads us to the third question. What does it take to attract such a diverse group of people to finish building the temple? It takes a clearly divine and well-communicated plan. And that is what I'm trying to do today, by demonstrating to you so that you can get it, you can catch it. So it takes a good explanation for the people to catch the vision and join in. So Nehemiah laid it out there for them. He explained to them. He said, here is what we are going to do. Here is why we are going to do it. And people join in. When people see how they are going to use it, then they'll join in. If they don't see the reason why they are doing it, then they will not join in. Nehemiah even went further when he answered Sanballat at the end of chapter 2 with these words, "The God of heaven will give us success." When he says opposition, he was focused on God. When he faced discouragement, he was focused on God. He knew God was going to bring success. And in chapter 2, verse 20, it indicates that a great plan precedes great people coming on board despite discouragement from Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And then in chapter 3, verse 2 to 6, we get into a long list of builders. How many of you like reading those long lists of hard names? I don't like it. I try to skip it, and that is why I chose Tim to read it. But this week, it dawned on me that those names are important, and that is why they are there in the scripture. It shows that God cares for the workers. He cares for the work, and he cares for the workers too. It shows me, and I hope it shows you too, that God has not forgotten us. Those who have been working hard, God knows you by name, even if your name is hard to pronounce or to read. God knows you by name, and he cares for you, he cares for what you are doing. If you are interested in it, God is interested in it too. And God is going to help you. So the main thing here is the power of teamwork is important. Value the power of teamwork. This was a huge job that Nehemiah was called to complete for God. And there was absolutely no way that he could have finished the task alone. He was not going to finish by himself this job. So as we have seen, others had to come alongside to do their part. Yes. Have you ever felt alone in the ministry that you are doing? Have you ever felt alone in the area of ministry where you have chosen to lead? Friends, God never designed you to do everything by yourself. You have to recruit, you have to share your vision. Yeah, you cannot do it by yourself. I cannot do it by myself. Yes, God didn't make me, to be by myself. We have to recruit and involve others. And we do it on our own. We'll get burned out. We'll wear ourselves out. So what about the rest of us? Will you watch the rest simply accomplishing God's mission? Or you will actually take part in accomplishing the mission of God? Will you just be spectators? Or you will jump in and help those who have led the way to do it? Will you participate? That is the call we are given today. To participate, not just to be spectators. Somebody called Emma Pompek wrote a conversation, and that is in the next slide. And she said, out of the total population of U.S., so Pompek is saying, yes, I'm tired. 4 years, I have been blaming it on iron, poor blood, middle age, lack of vitamins, air pollution, water pollution, underarm deodorant, obesity, dieting and adults and other maladies. I have noticed that none of these causes my tiredness. I'm tired because I'm overworked. And then she continued. Out of the total population in the U.S., 84 million are retired. 75 million are in school. 22 million are employed by the federal government. 4 million are in the armed services. That leaves only 15 million to do their work. Is there more? So that leaves only 15 million to do their work. So she was talking to somebody. So here she says, and he continued, I don't know why some are missing there. It says 11,998 people are in prison. So that only leaves two people to do their work. And you are standing here listening to me, so that leaves only me to do the work. I think that just about to hit, you know, on our head. For some of us in this room this morning. Nehemiah knew that no one was to do the work alone. So that is why he probably told the priest that they only had to complete the wall from point A to point B and wrote their names there. So it is kind of like the question, you know, we asked in Kenya, maybe you ask here, I haven't heard it here. You know, how do you eat an elephant? It is one bite at a time, right? And everybody is biting somewhere. Participation. There is a part for everyone to do, but no one is doing everything by himself or herself. It is the same way in the church. In this church, no one can do everything. You know, can teach Sunday school, or, you know, teach confirmation class, nursery, you know, children ministries, ushering at the same time. You know, there's nobody who can do all that by himself. So there is an area or ministry for each one of us. Yes, you just have to make time to participate. God has a job for you to do in this church that matches up perfectly with what God has given you. What God has wired you, you know, with the spiritual gifts. He has something for you today. And when you do that, we heard in the book of Corinthians that we will be rewarded. It could be here on earth. It could be both ways, here on earth and in heaven. So therefore, I want to encourage you to come on board and participate in building different ministries of this church. When we become participants, this is in the next slide, God is honored because people will place their faith in Him. When we become participants, God's message is spread beyond our physical reach. When we become participants, our lives become filled with joy and the presence of God. So as I close this morning, I want to encourage all of us to do what we have learned from the text. Side by side, shoulder by shoulder, we will do what no one could do alone. Success happens through the assistance of others. Success happens through teamwork and networking. It is important for each one of us to hold each other's hand and participate in spirituality, in outreach, in numbers, giving, and in enthusiasm. Amen? Amen. So as we continue to worship God in our tithes and offerings, may the ushers come forward, please. Let's rise up for offering response. Prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for giving us a wonderful worship service today. Thank you for the joy and peace that we have had here. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you also for what we were able to bring before you. Lord, thank you for the blessings you have given to each one of us. And this portion we bring before you today for the extension of your kingdom. We pray that you bless where it came from and bless where it is going. For we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Where two or more are gathered.
Go forth into the world, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus go with each one of you. Amen.
Faithful and true, nobody.